Christian Education and the North Star Christian Academy and what God is doing through that ministry. Anytime folks start looking at a ministry like that, it seems like so many people want to pick it apart and find all the things that are wrong with it. And for everything that's wrong with it, I can show you 10 or 12 things that are right with it. And I'm just tickled. I'm just thrilled at what God is doing through this ministry. I think what you saw here, amongst a lot of other things, was number one, some young men who are getting a real head start in their education when God calls them to preach. I really appreciate the training that they've already had. When I was in Bible college, I had a professor who used to say, "Stand up, speak up, and shut up." And that's exactly what these fellas did. That's great, the way they performed and how they stood up and spoke boldly. Tonight, for a few minutes, I want to direct your attention to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 in your Bibles. This is Thanksgiving time. I was going to give you a little bit of a history of the pilgrims and their Thanksgiving. I think it would be repetitious. You've already heard it. And you heard it very well. It's done excellent, in an excellent way. But let's see what God has to say about Thanksgiving and a thankful heart, an attitude of gratitude. In Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." The psalmist in the five verses that we have just read is exhibiting an expression of thanksgiving. I suppose a thankful heart is something that we as Americans sadly lack today. A selfish person is very seldom thankful. In fact, I do not know that those two ingredients are at all compatible. When you get saved and you find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you begin to become more and more aware of what God has done for you. And the more you are aware of what God has done for you, it would stand to reason that the more grateful you become. The more grateful you become, the greater the desire should be, and usually will be, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There are really only two kinds of religion in the world today. One kind of religion is that which motivates men from a source of fear. They say, if you do not do such and such and this and that, then you will suffer the consequences. Bible Christianity is at the other end of the pendulum, for Bible Christianity seeks to motivate men through love. God says it's not because of the consequences, even though certainly the Bible talks about fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That makes sense, that's logical, but the Bible makes the two things compatible and draws the relationship together. But Jesus Christ desires to have us serve Him because of a grateful heart and of love that we have for Him because He first loved us. God has pointed out some things in the verses that we have read that we ought to be thankful for tonight. And so I want us to think about at least three things tonight that we ought to be thankful for that God has done for us. We're just going to kind of go back for a few minutes this evening and get back to the grassroots of Christianity. What do we have to be thankful for? This is Thanksgiving time. Most of you will have an enjoyable day tomorrow. You're looking forward to being with loved ones or friends or with your family or whoever, and it's a pleasant day. And it's a day in which you'll enjoy most probably a turkey dinner with all the trimmings. And you'll have a tremendous time and just visiting with those who you love and appreciate. But what a great tragedy and a sin it would be if we just failed to thank God for what He's done for us. I was in Canada today. I was in Niagara Falls visiting with the Cunninghams a little bit. And I was, it was not pleasure, it was business. We were there. Brother Cunningham asked me to come over and look at some property that his church is considering buying and wanted me to look at it and render my opinion for whatever it's worth. And so my wife and I traveled to Niagara Falls. And I enjoy going to Canada. I particularly enjoy some of the natural resources that they have. The hunting and the fishing always allures me. But you know, I said to my wife as we crossed the border, I'm just thinking about it, I said, you know, I enjoy Canada, but I'm always grateful to get back on U.S. soil. And just something about that thing. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I've traveled overseas. I've been in Mexico. I've been in Canada. I've been in a lot of different places. But every time I come home, my, something grateful. We are to be grateful. We ought to be grateful for what God has done for us as Americans as well as Christians. God points out three things. Three things. Number one, He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then He begins to enumerate the benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now we say it, and sometimes we say it so often, I suppose, that it almost becomes a worn-out cliche, but it ought not to. We ought to thank God that He has forgiven our iniquities. I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, and glory to God, my sins have been forgiven, and I'm on my way to heaven. God has forgiven mine iniquities. Jesus commissioned 70 disciples to go forth in Luke chapter 10. And He gave them an unusual power, a power that was consigned to that particular transitional dispensation. But nonetheless, they had an unusual power, and that power included healing the sick. That power including casting demons out of people. And they came back rejoicing, and they said, this is really wonderful. This is tremendous. Why, even the demons have to bow down to us, and we have command and control and authority over them. You know what Jesus' response was? He said, now, don't be thankful. Don't rejoice over that. He said, the thing that you ought to rejoice over is that your name is written down in heaven. That's what He said. Now, I paraphrased it, but that's what He said. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. He said, that's the thing that you ought to rejoice over. And you know, folk today ought to be reminded that the greatest thing that we have to rejoice over is not any extracurricular powers or victories or anything else that God would give us. Not our material goods or possessions, our friends, our loved ones, as good and as sweet as those things are, but that our name is written down in heaven and God has written it in the Lamb's Book of Life if you've been saved and born again. And so God says, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Aren't you glad that you can go to bed if you're saved tonight and lay your head on the pillow and realize that regardless of what happens between now and 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, if you should wake up into eternity, you would know that your sins are forgiven and you can stand before God justified. All thy sins, all thine iniquities are forgiven. And then God says, the second thing that is enumerated, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, you know, I realize that people have diseases, and I realize that people get sick, and I realize that people get sick and die. In the last few years that I've pastored this church, I've buried more people than I can even count. more than I could even tell you about right now. Some of them were in the prime of life. Some of them were not old. Some of them were overcome by heart disease or cancer or some other ailment. And so folk would be quick, those that would criticize, to point to those who would be the exceptions and say, but wait a minute, the Bible says, who healeth all our diseases, but yet there are those who were stricken and inflicted to the point where death overtook them. But my friend, isn't it true that the vast majority of us enjoy good health? Isn't that true? Who healeth all thy diseases. Now, I'm not opposed to doctors and hospitals and medicines. I think all that's fine and wonderful and sometimes very necessary. But you and I, if we've been saved any length of time at all, can point to people who are probably very close to us, who we can say, no one but God raised them up. Isn't that right? No one but God raised them up, who healeth all thy diseases. You know what the psalmist is doing here? He's not thanking the Lord for his new golden chariot. He's not thanking the Lord for his new Arabian horse. He's not thanking the Lord for those things that sometimes we appear to be the most grateful for. But he's getting right down to the grassroots of life and eternity itself. He said, the first thing I'm grateful for is that my iniquities have been forgiven. And the second thing I'm grateful for is good health and strength and vigor and the ability to praise the Lord and to walk through life and carry on a normal life and to work and to do the things that God has asked me to do and that I can enjoy and appreciate. Those are things that ought to overtake our hearts in gratitude. Sometimes I guess I get a little unthankful for what the Lord has done for me, but very seldom do I make a trip to the hospital but what I don't get a little more thankful again. Just take a little stroll down through one of the hospital halls and you get thankful. But then the Lord goes on, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I suppose of the three things that are listed here, this would be the least likely for us to consider, and yet it was a consideration of the psalmist, and certainly it ought to be of ours. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible goes on to tell us that it's that particular struggle that we are consigned to, but God has given us a potential power and victory. And yet, do you know that the devil, if God ever gave him for one brief moment the permission, could take everything that we have, yea, our very life away, if God would but allow it to take place. Did not the Apostle Paul say that there were those, Hymenaeus and Alexander, that were given to, their bodies were given to Satan for the destruction of the flesh? Did not he say that? And the psalmist realized that as a child of God, God builds a very special hedge about us. You know, I don't think there's anything more than Satan would desire to do than to destroy about 4 million Christians in this country, if there are that many. I think there are. And you know what? According to the Word of God, except for the restraining hand of God Himself, He has the power to do that very thing. The psalmist recognized it, and he knew it, and consequently he prayed and thanked God that God had verily delivered him out of the hand of destruction. Do you ever feel like God and God alone rescued you out of a very perilous situation and set of circumstances? We ought to be thankful that as a Christian, God does build a hedge about us. Builds a fence around us, and His restraining hand is placed on those forces of evil that would rather destroy. Jesus acknowledged it. He said, now don't fear him who can destroy the body, but fear him most of all who can destroy the soul. But in that acknowledgement, he recognized that there was one who could destroy the body. The psalmist is thankful. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Is there anybody that loves you? If there's anybody in the whole wide world that loves you, the Lord's been good to you. Loving kindness and tender mercies, but most of all, how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. And the last verse, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Eagles live to be of a great age. I don't know exactly how old, but they tell me they live to be quite old sometimes. You know what happens with an eagle? An eagle's beak is in a continual growth pattern. And it grows and it grows and it grows longer than Luis Gomez's nose. That was a pretty neat little poem, wasn't it? Now, I know with this crowd, he's going to hear about that from someone. I tease him about his nose all the time, so that's all right. I hope he does. But it just grows and grows until it hooks around to the extent that he can't eat anymore. That's what an eagle's beak does. It curls around to where it's rendered ineffective. You know what he does at that point? He flies off in an isolated place, and he takes that beak and he pounds it and batters it and pounds it and batters it against a rock. And he beats it back, beats it practically off. And then the thing starts to grow back again. Now, during the process that he's doing this, he's not eating. He's on a fast, if you please. And consequently, his old feathers he loses. And he grows new ones. He grows a new beak, he grows new feathers, and he looks like a brand new eagle when it's all done. This process may take place not once or twice, but maybe several times during the lifetime of an eagle. Do you know that as far as the Word of God is concerned, that if you would concentrate and if I would concentrate our full attention on the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of mercies, with a continual heart of thanksgiving, you might be amazed at what it would do for you emotionally, physically, and spiritually. You know, when the Apostle Paul said, give thanks in all things, there's a whole lot more medicinal purposes to that than most people recognize. The problem that I find that so many people have today is that they're in a continual attitude of complaining and murmuring, even as the Israelites were when they came out of Egypt, and consequently God said, all right, your destiny is to die in the wilderness, and your carcasses shall lie here. You know, we hear today Betty Ford and all the folk like that run out and get a facelift. I guess that's all right. I'm not knocking it. Maybe there's some folks that need it, you know. But, you know, they run out and get a facelift. But you know the best facelift available is the light and the satisfaction that glows from a contented Christian who is in love with their Savior. You know that glow that you see in some folks' face, that'll hide all the wrinkles. That'll hide all of the undesirable marks. I've known some people in my life that were just ugly to look upon. But oh, how sweet they were when you knew the relationship that they had with the Lord. That's the thing that makes a difference. God says if we would fix our hearts, minds, and eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of thanksgiving, we would be renewed like the eagle. Fresh start. How many times have I heard folks say, I wish I could have a fresh start in life. I wish I could leave my past behind and burn my bridges and have a fresh start in life. That's what the eagle gets. He gets a fresh start. He gets a new beak. He gets new feathers. He gets a fresh start. Looks like a brand new bird. It's a result of being thankful in the spiritual level. You ever give thanks for your troubles and your trials? The Bible says give thanks in all things. If we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, let's really celebrate Thanksgiving. And let's get down on our knees this weekend and let's say, now Lord, I thank you for all my troubles, for all my heartaches, for all my bad experiences in life. And I thank you that somehow you're going to turn those reverses around and you're going to teach me that it might improve my character, that it might build my integrity and my honesty, and that it might develop my faith and trust in the Word of God and the great, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, and that it might develop me as a Christian and make me the way you want me to be. And then, Lord, I thank you for the good things that you've given me. I thank you for family, for friends, for health, for church, and for the good circumstances of life. This is Thanksgiving. So, of all people in Rochester, New York, that ought to be thankful, it's us. Let's stand for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, I want to pray. Dear friend, it's Thanksgiving. Are you thankful? Well, perhaps you have some things to be thankful for. In fact, certainly we all do. But if you're saved tonight, know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be particularly grateful. You can particularly rejoice. If you're not saved, certainly there would be a lacking. Certainly there would be a void and an emptiness. I wonder, just while our heads are bowed and just before I pray, if you'd mind helping me know a little bit better how to pray. I wonder who here tonight would say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know the Lord. And I, with the psalmist, can declare, I thank God. Oh, bless my soul. I thank the Lord that all of mine iniquities have been forgiven, and I have that assurance tonight. If you have that real, positive, Bible-based assurance, I wonder if you'd just do me the courtesy of slipping your hand up for a moment, please. Yes, I know the Lord, and I sure do. Oh, thank you, folks. Take your hands down. That's so marvelous. What a testimony. A sea of hands. From this far side of the auditorium to the other side. But perhaps there's a few here tonight that couldn't genuinely give testimony to that assurance, and you'd like to have it. It's something that you don't have, but you'd like to have it. If you'd like to have that kind of a Bible assurance, I'd like to pray for you. I wouldn't embarrass you or point you out. I won't do that. But I'd just like to remember you in prayer before we pray. You might say, Pastor, I'm not certain about my relationship with the Lord, whether my sins are forgiven or not. I don't know. I'd like to know. If you'd like to have that kind of real assurance, I'd like to pray for you. Would you just slip up your hand for a moment? You say, I'm not sure, but I'd like to be sure. Is there one while we tarry just a moment? I'd like to have that kind of assurance. I really would. I don't, but I'd like to have it. God bless you so much. Thank you very much. Is there another while we wait just a moment? I'm not real certain, but I'd like to be. Pray for me. Thank you so much over here. I appreciate that. Thank you, ma'am. Heavenly Father, tonight we have just come together and our hearts have been thrilled. Tonight, as we have seen our young people stand before us, and they have demonstrated through song and speech some reasons why we as American Christians have to be thankful. Lord, they have shown us that our forefathers came to this country with purpose and with diligence and with a conviction that God was directing their paths and footsteps. And it's the tradition that they laid down that we would seek to carry on tonight. They came with thankful hearts, and they desired opportunities to express their continual gratitude to a God who loved them. Tonight, there are some folk in this auditorium that lack real positive assurance about their soul. And they have lifted their hands for prayer. Our Father, I thank you for their courage and their desire to know more about your plan for their life. I thank you for their honesty, that they were willing to admit that they do not have real assurance concerning their sins and the forgiveness of them. Lord, I thank you that they were not those folk who just try to send up a smoke screen and cloud the issue and raise their hands when they couldn't have honestly done so and suggested that they were saved. But Lord, these people are obviously sincere people. They're looking. And I thank you for that. And I know that Jesus Christ would save them tonight upon their request of faith. And therefore I pray that the Spirit of God would continue to speak to their heart as he has already obviously done and direct them to respond to this invitation that will be given, that someone might take an open Bible and deliberate with them for a couple of moments and show them how they too can become a child of God according to "Thus saith the Lord." And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just no one moving around, please. The most important part, perhaps, of our entire service tonight. We're concerned more than anything else for your soul. Our number one concern is for your soul. It's not our only concern, but it's our number one concern. And we desire to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. You lifted your hand for prayer. Perhaps you didn't, but you're concerned. In just one moment, we're going to sing a familiar hymn of invitation, "Just As I Am." And as we begin to sing, I'll invite you to do this. It'll take some courage, but bless your heart, you'll never regret it. If you'll step out of your seat and make your way down to the front, one of our people will be here with an open Bible to meet you and will show you from God's holy word how you can become a child of God by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with joining a church. It has nothing to do with becoming a Baptist. Being a Baptist doesn't guarantee heaven for you, friends. There's some Baptists that are going to heaven and there's some Baptists that are going to hell. It's what you do with Jesus Christ that makes the difference. That's the thing right there. And we're inviting you to come that we might show you how that you can receive him according to what the Bible very plainly sets forth. But you must come and we'll help. We'll do all we can to help. If you'll come as we sing on this very first verse, you come right now. Come on.
Just
step out of your seat wherever you are and make your way down that we might show you from an open Bible how you can become a child of God. Would you please? On this verse, allow us to show you right here tonight. George, this young man right here. Listen, some of you folk raised your hands. You expressed a concern for your soul. I'm glad you did, but we too are concerned. Now allow us to exercise that concern more fully by showing you from God's book how you can be saved. If you don't do that, there's not a whole lot more we can do for you right now. We can't save you, but the Lord can, but we can show you the signpost. We can show you the direction if you'll come. We'll sing another verse. I hope you will. Come on right now.
Just as I am and waiting God to rid my soul of one dark blood who the evil's blood can cleanse each bottle lamp of God I come.
Dear friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have very little to be thankful for. Oh, you might say, well, I have life and I have health and I have liberty. I have possessions. Yes, that could all be true. That could be very true. But you see, all of that will someday amount to exactly nothing. Jesus said it this way. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Health is wonderful. But health won't make a bit of difference 1,000 years from now. It's wonderful if you have a comfortable home and a lovely family. That's great. Won't make a bit of difference 1,000,000 years from now. But Jesus Christ will. If you'll find Him as your Savior, He'll make all the difference for all of eternity. Will you trust Him? We'll sing one more verse. I hope you'll come.
Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight riches He.
I'm going to ask the instruments to continue to play for a moment. Someone else is stepping out and coming. I'm glad they are. We hope that we can help. We know the Word of God has the answers. And we know that if people will just believe what God says, then He'll do the rest. If we can help you, you come. Thank you. our young men, Jeff Karpinko, comes tonight to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. Give him eternal life. I'm glad you've come, Jeff. Tremendous. What you asked the Lord to do for you tonight, he did. He'll do a lot more things for you if you'll just keep asking him. Glad you've come. I think the decision slip's disappeared with our altar, Jim. What's this young man's name? It's another Karpinko boy, Doug. How old are you, Doug? 11. Outstanding. This young fellow also comes trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior. I am really glad for you. Two young men coming, asking the Lord to be their Savior. Not asking a church, they're not asking a religion. They're asking the Lord. And that's the difference right here. Mrs. Jesse, help me with your last name. Tomasco comes tonight asking Jesus Christ to be her Savior and give her eternal life. Jesse, I'm thrilled to death you've come. You've asked the Lord to do something for you that no one else in the whole universe can do. And you can be assured, based on the book that you're holding in your hand, that God gave you eternal life. Thank God for you. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right. There will be a short adult choir practice in building number 1. That's that way. All right. Now, we do need some help. We need some help in taking the chairs down and putting the choir railing up. Okay? Some of you fellas hang around and help us. We'd appreciate it a whole lot if you'd do it. Aren't you glad you came tonight?
Yeah.
It's good. Real good. Let's bow in prayer, shall we, and be dismissed, thanking the Lord for his goodness. Brother Richie Bechtel, lead us in prayer, please.
Thank you.